There are 8 million stories in the naked city. In crossing the busy street, the man turned his head at the last moment to avoid collision with a great rumbling truck with squeaky springs and gasping pneumatic brakes, and at the last minute turned his head back again and in the direction to which he was going. And found himself on another street, in another city, in another country altogether, and shook himself awake, but wasn't asleep. Stories where the protagonist spends almost a full lifetime somewhere else after dipping a bucket into a river, then snaps back to the spot, still filling the bucket. Sees that actually only a few seconds have passed, and the bucket's not even full. The idea flashed through his head and was gone before he could really even think about it. Went all the way to the glistening brown ribbon of a large, busy river, where barges filled with cattle negotiated creamy rapids, frothy at the tips. A door at his right caught his attention.
Without hesitation, he entered, hoping to be in an emerald-paneled palace with dragon fountains smoking pungent incense in blue puffs that out-jeweled mouths in which he could discern both his past and future to make up for the perplexity of his present. But it was only a small webby shop selling tea.
He took a cup from the smiling proprietor, who didn't seem to mind this total stranger in modern dress, who had none of the currency of the realm, whatever that realm might be. Out the window, coral mountains and a
I don't know if I can sustain this fantasy much longer.
upstairs seating area with a radio blaring and enough tables for about 50 or more people, but totally anyway deserted at 10:30 p.m. Clumps or striding long-legged and purposeful, or standing hailing taxis, or sliding by on bicycles.
Francisco, or shoeless somewhere dead. The mountain had never before experienced such elation. As soon as he set foot on it, it began to sing. Even the rocks had eyes for the clouds, and the clouds reciprocated by sending down dew. Sends us armies into the plain to do battle with falsely imagined enemies. He turns his head as he climbs a steep stairway out onto the rock towards a monastery in an improbable place on a jutting cliff beyond what can be conceived of as possible to build on.
Let's look at his face. Let's look into his eyes to see if we can see what he sees. Some clue to where he is and how he might be returned to the cross street he disappeared in. He's round-faced like the moon, deep-lidded eyes and almost perfect lips, nostrils well-defined, ears symmetrically placed, an evenness and openness of forehead and gaze, and the eyes like two floating paper lanterns in Venice or Kyoto. Sweet surprise, and through those eyes coming towards us are the last miles he's climbed, or clambered onto a train in a state of exhaustion, deciding this world is not the world to anchor his hopes in. The doors always open, it just depends on which side of the outside you want to be. There are so many places we've been that we'd like to revisit, drawing back to their actual physical sensation, teaching them all over again, blushing our lips against them. Even a springtime day in a foreign country, and it's there where Elle is now, exactly where I left him, but in the space and time not of the past as our memories purport to be. Some memories may be actually hiding out in the future, behind a broken lattice wall or yellow fog, though I'm trying now to remember. Envisioned him be last night when
I was simply too tired to continue this exploration. I think it was in the air, but I can't be sure, and I'm not so sure I want him there. Maybe better on a boat.
Ah, now I recall. And also why he's so hard to contact. Why there's such a silence around him where he's concerned. He made it up the cliff. And he's sitting in the monastery, there at the height of soaring eagles and blinding white clouds. He's in a giant brown room with a handful of adepts and an ancient master so old even the dust doesn't bother landing on him anymore. He's more like paper than flesh, and his thoughts and words are more like texts than conversation. So El is there, having a bowl of rice and inhaling the incense and listening just as we're tuning into him, past the noise of a distant door bang, past the bell a lone monk at the opposite end of the monastery is ringing in his solitary cell. He's completely content to be where he is. And where he is very remote from human communicative concerns.
He's the echo inside the echo, inside the echo of a childhood memory. Of the arrival out of nowhere of an unknown uncle who's traveled the world. As you listen at your bedroom door, long after being sent off to bed.
Traffic to pass the inelegant sun. its ill-fitting clothes and grinding gears. And straightens his jacket and pulls at his shirt and feels his body inside his clothes and bleeds, looks to the right and steps off the curb again.
Thank you. Thank you.